The Pasha of Kisisa, this coming Shabbos, is a very significant Pasha because it has in it the Chet HaEgel, one of the most heinous crimes that was committed by Klal Yisrael, right in the shadow of Matan Torah. There's a Pasuk in this week's Pasha, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches. The last Pasuk of Perek Lamed Aleph, the Torah says the following, Vayitena Moshe, this is the introduction to the Chet HaEgel. Vayitena Moshe, Kechaloso L'daber Yitzor B'har Sinai Shnei L'chosu Eidus, L'chos Eben K'suvim B'yetz B'elokim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, he gave Moshe the two L'chos. So Rashi here comments on the language of Kechaloso when he finished. If you look carefully in the pasuk, you'll see that Kechaloso is spelled without a vav after the lamed. So it can be read Kechaloso, like his bride. A kala is a bride. So Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah by Hashem the way a chassan gives a present to his bride. A chassan gives matanos to his kala. The entire nation was encamped around Har Sinai. They were waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to descend with the luchos in his hand. They calculated the moment they had been waiting that he was about to arrive. And we're talking about a nation who achieved a very high madrega, namely the madrega of being Nevi'im. Because at Matan Torah, we all became Nevi'im. We all became prophets. We reached an incredibly high madrega. And therefore, we're under the madrega almost of Adam HaRishon, Kodem Achet, before the sin. The Torah tells us in Sefer Dvarim, when it mentions Matan Torah, the language of the pasuk is Ki mi kol basar asher shama kol elokim chayim medaber mitoch ha'esh kamonu vayechi. Is it possible for someone to hear the kol of Hashem speaking from a fire and survive? So we're talking about Klal Yisrael, who witnessed so many nisim in Mitzrayim and at the Yam, and suddenly a terrible, terrible avera occurs, and we fell incredibly. We fell what the Gemara calls in Chagiga, the Lashon of the Gemara is Me'igra Rama Labira Amikta. We fell from a roof so high to an incredibly deep pit. In a very short period of time, we sank from the level of being Nevi'im to the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy us. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kuvav, and that we see not just from Tehillim, but we see it as well from the Psukim here in this week's Pasha, in Kisisa, that Hashem literally wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, Chas v'Shalom. Vayomer la'hashchisa. And what saved Klal Yisrael? So the Pasuk says in Tehillim, if you look in Tehillim, Perek Kuvav, Pasuk of Gimel, so it mentions, if not for Moshe Rabbeinu, somehow Moshe Rabbeinu intervened just in time to stay the wrath, the anger of Hashem Yisbarach from destroying Klal Yisrael. So the question, of course, is how is it possible that Klal Yisrael at such a high madrega, Nevi'im, Har Sinai, how could it happen? How could we sink to such a low level? So many, many Rishonim talk about this issue. It's a very significant, very important issue to understand. Now, Rashi, as all of you probably are aware, Rashi learns that the Chet was, there were three Chatoyim, Gider Arayus, Shrichas Domim, and Avodah Zorah. Rashi learns the three most cardinal sins were violated by the Jewish people. Shrichas Domim, Rashi quotes in Medrash Chazal that they killed Chur, who tried to stop them. Gider Arayus, the Pasuk says, Vayakumu Letzachik, and the Gemara Darshins, Chazal Darshin Letzachik, refers to Arayus, sexual immorality. They were out of control. And even Avodah Zorah, that's Rashi. However, most Rishonim do not agree with Rashi. Rashi is based on Midrashim that he cites, but two of the famous Rishonim that discuss the issue are the Ramban, right here in Chumash, and the Kuzari, Abid Alevi, in his classic Sefer. And both of them contend that Chas v'Shalom, it's not possible that Klal Yisrael in such a short period of time, the way the Pirs from the Chumash were involved in Avodah Zarah, literally became idolaters. How could it doesn't make any sense? It's almost irrational that somehow that we believed, as the slogan went, the slogan that the Torah describes is Eilo Lohechol Yisrael Asher Helucham Eretz Mitzrayim, that the, somehow the calf, the golden calf, that's what took us out of Egypt. That would be incomprehensible. We're not a bunch of fools. We're not a bunch of blundering idiots that we would think that this calf was responsible for taking us out of Mitzrayim. A calf which is inanimate, essentially relative to a human being, but certainly this calf was a golden calf. It was not human. How could it create anything, again, that existed before it came into being itself? So therefore, the Kuzari and the Rabban say that they did not entertain the notion that the calf took them out of Egypt. But what was the problem? They missed Moshe Rabbeinu. They both explain that the Pasuk says here in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Aleph, they were missing Moshe Rabbeinu, waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come back. They made a calculation, they miscalculated. And the Pasuk says very specifically, Kizem Moshe Ha'ish Asher Ha'alonu Me'eretz Mitzrayim Lo Yodanu Me'hoyolom. We don't know what happened to this man, Moshe Rabbeinu, who took us out of Egypt. Because till this point, it was Moshe Rabbeinu that the Shechina rested on Moshe Rabbeinu. All the Nisim, all the miracles that we experienced came about through Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayed Moshe es yadu al hayom. Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who raised his hand and split the sea. Moshe Rabbeinu was critical. And somehow Moshe Rabbeinu did not come. Of course, they miscalculated. So as a result of that, that's why somehow the chet occurred. But what exactly was the nature of the chet? How did they reach such a low level? So it began with this miscalculation. The people thought that Moshe was supposed to return on that day. 6 hours passed. As a matter of fact, Chazal, seeing the pasuk right here, Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Aleph, Vayar Ha'om Ki Boshesh Moshe. The term Boshesh means Boshesh. It's spelled Beis Shin Shin. The sixth hour came, and Moshe did not return. And they began to have sfeikos. They began to have many, many doubts. They knew Moshe Rabbeinu was a Yeki. Moshe Rabbeinu was very precise. To him, midnight was midnight, and midday was midday, and they did not know what happened to him. Kizem Moshe Ha'ish, Asher Ha'alonu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Lo Yodanu Me'hoyolo. What happened to him? And if Moshe was really gone, Rachmanu Litzlan, what will become of us? Without the leader directing traffic, who will lead us into Eretz Yisrael? Are we going to remain in the desert forever? Would the man continue to fall? The only reason why it fell the chatchilo was because of the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So many, many sfeikos, and according to the Medrash, of course, the Sultan arrived on the scene and showed them an image of Moshe Rabbeinu dying, and they actually began to believe, Achman al-Litzlan, that Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer alive. But again, if you read the pasuk carefully, you see that he didn't succeed in convincing them that Moshe Rabbeinu died. What did they say? They don't mention that he died. They just say, Kizem Moshe Ish, Asher Ha'alonu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Lo Yadanu Me'hoyolo. We don't know what happened to him. And of course, once their imagination began to take hold of them, it overpowered their intellect. And essentially what happened was they went into a panic. They were absolutely frightened beyond belief, because had they thought logically, they would not have been frightened. They should have assumed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never abandon them, and Hashem guided them the entire time. They just received the Torah. They just were at Har Sinai, but somehow they went into a panic. And I heard from HaGoyin Rav Levinsohn Shlita a number of times, and my brother, HaGoyin Rav Aaron David Shlita, also pointed out in the name of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, HaGoyin Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz Zatzal, a massive chiddush. He pointed out that in the Hoshanos, that we say on Hoshana Rabbah, we ask Hashem for the following. We ask Him for all kinds of salvation. And one of the things we ask for is the following. Hoshana Adoma Me'erer, We ask Hashem should save the ground from being cursed. And then there's a language which Abchaim noticed and which he accentuated and applied it dafka to the situation of the Chet HaEgel. We ask Hashem, save us nefesh mi behola. Save our souls from panic. Behola refers to someone who's confounded, someone who's confused, someone who panics, someone who simply loses his sense of balance, his control. Because we ask in that paragraph of the Hoshanis a number of things. We ask Hashem, please save the granary from different types of locusts. Save the crop from arbe, another kind of locust. All these destructive forces that affect agriculture. By the same token, what do we ask Hashem? Save us from behola. Behola said that going of Chaim Shul Levitz Atzal can destroy a human being. Panic is absolutely something which we have to avoid completely. And that's exactly what happened here in the context of the Chet HaEgel. Namely, Klal Yisrael panicked. And once a person panics, and once a person can no longer think logically, that can turn an individual topsy-turvy, turn him upside down. When a person operates with seichel, operates with logic, so even though we're constantly confronted with challenges all the time, literally, every few moments we have another challenge, but our seichel, Baruch Hashem, governs our lives. And as a matter of fact, that's the reason where I can't allow myself to become drunk to the point where I lose it. Because then my seichel dissipates and I no longer have the ability to govern my life. I'm no longer in control. There are other forces operating, which is why I'm mekayim the mitzvah and Purim of Ad Lo Yada. But Ad Lo Yada, in my case, the seichel is still in charge. The seichel is still running the show. It's a bit of Ad Lo Yada, enough to be able to mekayim the mitzvah, but not beyond that. So here, in effect, Klal Yisrael just lost it. They panicked. Because logically, Aaron HaKohen was there. He actually made strenuous efforts, yeoman efforts, to prevent it from happening. Because he tried to tell them, Hashem is not going to abandon them. And Aaron is also a Navi. And clearly, they should listen to him. But the panic led to a decision being made in tremendous haste. And that's a very important yesod that Chazal tell us. There's actually a Mishnah at the end of Seita that the Mishnah writes over there, Tchilas Nefila Nisa. When a person is involved in a war situation, so how does one know if one is prevailing or not prevailing? So the answer is, as long as one has strategized and done that which has to be done in order to win, in order to prevail over the enemy forces, one does not have to worry. Of course, sometimes, Rachmanu Litzlan, there are karbanos, there are individuals who, God forbid, are impacted, are affected, including our soldiers. But if we have a plan and a strategy and clearly have an overall kind of approach, we don't have to worry. However, the moment people start to run, the moment people start to create pandemonium and panic, then it's all over. At that moment, basically, the war is over. We lost the war. That's exactly what happened over here in the context of the Chet HaEgel. Namely, panic. As a result of this behola, what the Hoshanas call nefesh mi behola. The term behola refers to this kind of panic. And the Dor HaMidbar panicked. As a result of the panic, led to Rachmanu Litzlan catastrophic consequences. Building, constructing a golden calf, which of course has absolutely no foundation whatsoever in reality. Golden calf is not capable of doing anything. A golden calf is completely impotent, completely without any ability whatsoever. But somehow that became the major force that was operating. As a result, we were, Rachmanu Litzlan, led to a situation of terrible chet, the Chet HaEgel, that literally undid almost entirely the Maimon HaSinai, the divine revelation that had taken place right before this. Rabbeinu Shlita, a number of times when I heard him, used to speak and mention one of the famous Balei HaMusar. His name was Avsimcha Zissel Mikelm, that he said about the ultimate Geula. It's actually a pasuk in Tehillim, in Kuf Chavav. We say it actually in the context of the benching. B'shuv Hashem Eshiva Sion Hayinu Kecholmim. What's a literal translation of the pasuk? Shir HaMalos. It's a song of going up. B'shuv Hashem Eshiva Sion, when Hashem will return the captivity of Tzion, Hayinu Kecholmim. We were like dreamers. How do we understand the pasuk? The pasuk says, very fascinatingly, it doesn't say, Nihiyeh Kecholmim. That's what it should have said. When Hashem will once again undo the captivity of Tzion, we shall become like Cholmim. We'll be as dreamers, but it doesn't say that. It uses Lashon Avar. Hayinu Kecholmim. We were as dreamers. Why does it use that Lashon? We were like dreamers, as opposed to the Lashon Asid, we will be dreamers. So Rav Simcha Zissel Mikelm suggested that sometimes a person can receive a terrible blow, and then he wakes up and realizes it was but a dream. It was a chalom. So when Hashem returns the captivity of Tzion, namely when the Geula will come, and then we'll look back and see all the troubles and all the tsaris and all the COVID-19s and who knows what, all the other viruses and all the variants, South Africa, Brits, New York variant, the latest on the scene, and then we will come to the conclusion it will all be but a dream. And we say actually in the davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we mentioned before the Musaf of Yom Narayim, so the Chazan says, V'chol tzoros amcha beis Yisrael hafochno v'sosan l'simcha, that Hashem in effect should transform all our travail, all our evil, should be transformed to joy and gladness. We're not asking for joy and gladness in place of our troubles. Rather, that the troubles themselves be transformed into joy and gladness. It means all the troubles and hardships will seem as nothing but a dream. So, had Klal Yisrael thought in such a way, in such a fashion, then they would not have gotten so excited, they wouldn't have panicked, and they wouldn't have made the Egel Azov. What they would have done, or what they should have done, they should have approached Aaron HaKohen, approached him for guidance. And Aaron HaKohen would either have used his own wisdom to guide them, or he would have asked Hashem what to do. As a matter of fact, if you take a look in Shemos, in Perek Chavdalad, Pasuk Yudalad, Moshe Rabbeinu himself told them, Hine Aaron v'churi machem, he you have Aaron and Chur, they're with you. Mi bal dvarim yigash aleihem, whoever has some issue, some grievance, approach them. So they did not do so. But rather, what does the Torah tell us here in this week's Parsha? Vayikol ha'om al aharon. What a language. They gathered, what does the Pasuk say? On aharon. Doesn't say in the Pasuk, Vayikol ha'om el aharon. That would imply that they went to Aaron HaKohen to consult him, to ask him for guidance. No, doesn't say that. Vayikol ha'om al aharon, on him. Essentially, what did they do? They dictated to Aaron what to do. They already reached the conclusion that since Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, and therefore, they required, as the Pasuk says, somehow a God who's going to replace Rachmanu Litzlan, Hashem Yisbarach, and they need Elohim Asher Yelchu Lefaneinu, some God who's going to guide us. Ki zeh Moshe Ha'ish Asher Ha'elonu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, this Moshe Rabbeinu, who took us out of Mitzrayim, lo yadana mehoyalo. The Ramban actually cites that they were looking for some physical symbol. He quotes from the Ibn Ezra. Namely, they were looking for a tangible, physical symbol of God, and somehow they found it from their perspective where? In the golden calf, which is irrational, incomprehensible, almost fatuous, absolute buffoonery, if one thinks about it from a logical perspective. But they weren't using logic. There was no logic involved. They panicked. Vayakumu l'tzachek. As a matter of fact, if you read the psukim carefully, it's clear that perhaps this may also have been one of the errors on the part of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen attempted to somehow go ahead, and what did he tell them? He wanted to the extent that he could, stop this movement in its tracks. So what does Aaron do? So if you look at the psukim, if you remember, I'm sure all of you remember the psukim, he sees what's happening, so he tries to, in a rational kind of way, when you see people who are excited and people who are full of regesh, full of emotion, so what do? You try to take that emotion, and through the process of sublimation, a very simple psychological stratagem, a ploy. What's the ploy? What does Aaron say to them? The following. Vayomer aleihem Aaron, Pasuk Beis, the Perek Lamed Beis, Parku nizmei hazahav asher bi'ozni nishechem, take off all the golden pendants, all the gold that you have, and bring it to me. And Aaron goes ahead, and an eagle is made. But Aaron thought that they would realize how foolish this is. But instead, what do they say? These are your gods who took it out of Egypt. And as Aaron attempted to try to stop them in their tracks, but he was unsuccessful. Then he continues. The Pasuk K, Vayar Aaron, he said, okay, I have a great idea. Let's party. Who doesn't like to party? Vayar Aaron, Vayivim Mizbech Lefonov. Vayikra Aaron, Vayomar, Chag Lashem Bachar. Let's have a party tomorrow. And the problem was, they already were beyond that. They already had gotten into such a panic that even that tactic was unfortunately and tragically unsuccessful. Ad kidei kach, where Rashi quotes from Chazal, what I mentioned earlier, that they literally went ahead and they killed Chur. He attempted to stop them, and they went ahead, and according to Rashi, there was Shrichus Domin. Rashi is based on a Medrash Chazal, that they killed Chur. Now, what's fascinating, that we find Moshe Rabbeinu, when he comes down, and he sees what's happening, and of course, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, we don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu rebuked them for the fact they killed Chur. What greater, what more heinous crime could they have committed than an act of murder? And of course, that's something which is absolutely repugnant, completely and totally unacceptable. And yet, what does he rebuke them for? For worshiping Avodah Zarah. But not for the fact that Chur was killed. Chur was the first Jew to be killed on Kiddush Hashem after the Torah was given. So why weren't they accountable for that act of murder? So perhaps said, I'm going to have them in Sol Shlita. Based on the situation, we can't fault them. They were in such a state of panic. They were convinced that making an object to house the Shekhinah was the only hope for salvation. They wanted something tangible. And Chur's protest, from their perspective, made him into a rodef. He was putting their lives in danger. And for that reason, somehow, they were not faulted. And that's why the incident involving the death of Chur is not mentioned in the Torah. We only know it from Chazal, based on the fact that Chur's name no longer appears in Chumash. Had they thought logically, there would have been no justification for this kind of behavior under any circumstances. They felt that if Moshe Rabbeinu somehow died, Hashem must be angry. But how did they possibly think that the calf, the golden calf, would suddenly appease Hashem Yisbarach? And they should have realized it's not going to help their cause. And the Torah describes the following. Vayeshavam lechol v'shaso. They sat down to eat and drink. But the striking part of the pasuk is the end of it. Vayakumu letzachek. The word letzachek carries in it such depth in terms of revelry, in terms of behavior that was absolutely unconscionable. They were out of control. They were solely guided by fear, not by logic, and they tried to find a solution somehow through this kind of wild, orgiastic celebration. And that, of course, was absolutely uncontrollable. And Aaron HaKohen, who initially thought he would approach them in a logical kind of way, that was a mistake. They weren't people who were operating with logic. They were panic-stricken. They were simply out of control. And as a result, that was not the approach. He realized it, and he tried to correct, and he tried to create a party kind of modality, but it was too late. The damage had already been done. The panic was already set in, and the Aaron was not able to stop it. Now, obviously, there were tzaddikim who didn't believe in the ego. Chazal tell us that only 3,000 people, only Chumana Litzlan, even one person who dies is a tragedy. Hagoyin Avashavai Shlita, as many times in the course of the last 10 months, pointed out that even one Jew, and unfortunately many, many Jews have lost their lives in the context of the COVID, but even one Jew, Rachmana Litzlan, every single Jew and every single human being is a Tzelem Elokim. And we have to be concerned and worried that Chas V'Shalom, no one should be harmed. So Chazal tell us 3,000 people were killed by Moshe Rabbeinu. A few more of them were punished, being tested by the water. Not all 600,000 plus people participated. As a matter of fact, there's a famous comment of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, in his genius, he teaches us the following. The Medrash says on the Pasuk that with reference to the Cheva Egel, what did they say? What was the slogan? Eile Elohecha Yisrael, Asher He'elucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Namely, these, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, these are your God, Israel, who took you out of Mitzrayim. So the Medrash cites another Pasuk, besides this Pasuk. Namely, the Pasuk says that Adam Echad Be'elav Matzasi Ve'isha V'chalel Elav Matzasi Pasuk in Koheles, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chavches. One man in 1,000 I found, but one woman among them I didn't find. And then there's another Pasuk that speaks about Chamisha Baka Yishalim Tachas Hatzon V'arba Tachas Haser. Five cattle in the place of the axe. What's the connection between these Pesukim? So the Gaon says that the Eile and Koheles, the Pasuk I mentioned earlier, namely where Koheles says, Adam Echad Me'elav Matzasi V'isha B'chal Eile Elav Matzasi, I didn't find a woman. I found one man in 1,000. I didn't find a woman. And the second Pasuk was, Chamisha Baka Yishalim Tachas Hashar. So the Gaon contends the following. The Gaon says that the word Eile refers to the Cheva Egel. How do we know that? Because it says, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. These are your gods, Israel. Asher Elucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. No women are to be found there because the women were not involved in the Cheva Egel. Among the men, on the other hand, there was 1 in 1,000. In other words, out of the 600,000 men, only 600 sinned. So why were 3,000 killed? Because the Pasuk says, Chamisha Boka Yishalim Tachas Hashor. He shall pay five cattle in place of the ox. And the laws of the Ezekiel, we find the payment is fivefold. Here too, for every man who sinned, five were killed. The payment was fivefold. This is a typical genius of the Vilna Gaon at work. But coming back to the main issue, what was the chet of the Cheva Ego? The chet was panic, behola, bilbo, confusion. Now, when one contrasts this with what happened in Shushan, in Purim, it was just the opposite. Really, we should have given up hope in Shushan. Here we have Vayavo Haman, which I've already pointed out is very similar to Vayavo Amalek. Out of nowhere, Amalek arrived. Out of nowhere, Haman arrives and somehow is able to get the king through his signet ring to issue a gzera for the destruction of Klal Yisrael, the Hashmin, the Arug, the Abiyaz, Kol HaYudim, Minar V'Yad Zokeh. We should have given up in Shushan, given up hope. A tremendous upheaval. And we cannot imagine what happened. Suddenly, one morning we wake up, V'Yair Shushan Navocha, we hear about this gzera, and we're completely and totally discombobulated, totally caught off guard. We had a good relationship with Achashverosh. He invited us to his Suda, to his feast. Of course, Mordechai protested we should not go, but it seems offhand the situation was a positive one. We felt that the king loved us as much as he loved the other subjects. The Gemara says in Megillah, on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara points out that Klal Yisrael felt, we have a sister in the royal palace. What's the problem? We have an inn with Achashverosh. No problem at all. Clearly, we have protector, as they would say here. She became the queen. What could go wrong? And as we know, the moment Esther becomes the queen, the Navi, the Megillah tells us that all of a sudden, there's an amnesty, a reduction in taxes. So everything is hunky-dory. Everything is hatsi-tatsi, an ideal matzav. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, we have a gzera, lahashmi larug l'abiz kol ha-yudim minav yadzoke. And the date set aside for this was less than a year away. The Achashtar Panam were given the order. There seemed to be no hope, no salvation. So what should have been the result? We should have given up entirely. We should have simply thrown up our hands in despair. So here, what do we see? The opposite of the Cheder Egel. Here we displayed our strength. We didn't despair. We cried out to Hashem. We didn't panic. We didn't become confused. We didn't send a delegation to convince Achashverosh to rescind the decree. It's true, we sent Esther, but that was planned by Mordechai and Esther, and the rest of Klal Yisrael just turned to Hashem. We realized that the only one we can rely on is Hashem Yisbarach. And they realized that through Sakva Efer, sackcloth and ashes, Ein Od Milvado, there's no one else besides him. And Klal Yisrael realized that Mordechai was right all along. There was no need to go to the Seudah of Achashverosh. There was no need to befriend the other nations. Hey, Nam, Chazal, the Pasuk says in Chumash, that when we are Levadad Yishkon, when we are by ourselves, we will, in effect, dwell and we'll prosper. When we try to assimilate, to acculturate, to adapt the values of the mores of the non-Jewish world, there's no way we're going to survive. And certainly it was inappropriate to attend the particular Seuda that essentially was a celebration of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Achashverosh took out all the Kelim, all the Klei HaKodesh, all the holy vessels from the Beis HaMikdash. And despite the fact the food was glatt kosher, as the Pasuk says in the beginning of the Megillah in Perek Aleph, however, despite the fact the food was glatt kosher, but the Suda itself was treif through and through. And they realized Mordechai was right. And Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael opposed Mordechai's not bowing down to Haman, because it says, Mordechai lo yichav lo yishtachaveh. And even though everyone bowed down to Haman, with the exception of one person, Haman couldn't handle it. The fact that one Jew refused to bow down to him, and the reason why they bowed down, because they thought it would kindle hatred within Haman. And only later on, again, they realized Mordechai was right. You don't bow down to a wicked person. The only solution is to do tshuva. And that's exactly what happened when Esther told Klal Yisrael, told Mordechai, Lech kinos is kol ha-yudim asher b'shusha mitzumu alai. Assemble everyone and fast for me. Means that Haman truly planned to annihilate Klal Yisrael. Wouldn't it make more sense to scatter them? He couldn't wipe them out in one day. The king gave him permission to spend one day in killing the Jews. Then they would have thwarted his plans. The date of Yud Gimel Adar, the 13th of Adar, was decreed Min HaShamayim. And even by natural means, Haman would not be able to find them in the same day. They could buy time. But Klal Yisrael realized that at this point, what was required was Tzvila and Tshuva. And that's what they did. And Esther, of course, is Maisa Nefesh. She puts her life in danger when she approached the king. And Gamaniv and Arosai Atzurim came. And she, of course, she fasts as Maisa Nefesh. And only through tshuva and tefillah. That was a tikkun in some respects for the Cheder Egel. Now, the Cheder Egel was twofold. In addition to the Avera itself, they didn't consult the Chachamim, the Gdolei Yisrael of their time, as Moshe Rabbeinu previously instructed, Aaron and Hur, and what the people in Shushan do, they atone for it by following the advice of Mordechai, who was among the Chachmei HaSanhedrin, and they follow what he said. So, in effect, what we have in the context of the story of the Megillah that we just read and the Purim that we just went through was, in effect, almost the antithesis of what took place in the context of the Cheder Egel. Shushan and the entire story was a tikkun for the Cheder Egel. Not completely, because had it been, they would have returned to the situation they were when the first luchos were given. The first luchos Chazal described as charus, engraved. The word charus is the same as charus. Some say it's charus from the Malach HaMabes. Some say charus from all these oppressive regimes. We haven't yet reached achieved either of those levels. However, Chazal, Amishabeach Klal Yisrael and Shushan, because we took upon ourselves. But again, Kimu v'Kiblu, Kimu Mashikiblu Kvar, New Kabbalah Satorah Michadosh. Unfortunately, it was not a complete and total acceptance. And that we see from the period that follows immediately, after 10 years or so after the Purim episode, Ezra makes Aliyah, goes to Eretz Yisrael. Very few members of Klal Yisrael joined him. One would have expected a massive Aliyah following such an event, and permission was given to build the Beis HaMikdash. The people had the opportunity to serve Hashem in Yerushalayim. It didn't happen. The number of people that came was far less than those that came with Zerubbabel. So even though Hodor Kibluah B'meach HaShverosh, even though it was accepted, the Torah again days of HaShverosh, as the Gemara writes in Shabbos and Makkos, but it fell short of its potential. And this explains why Purim was established on the day, as the Pasuk says in the Megillah, that we were able to gain menucha from our enemies. Although it meant that walled cities have one day that they observe, namely Tesvav, and the Prozim, the non-walled cities, observe on Yudalim. Should Purim not have been established on the day of the war, the 13th of Adar, which is what the Gemara calls Zman Kilo Lakoli, the Gemara Daf Beis in Megillah, when all of us assembled, that would have meant uniformity. And one explanation is that we want to show that we're not celebrating the fact that we killed our enemies, but rather, once again, we accepted the Torah in the days of Ahasuerus. Relief from the enemy gives us more time to accept the Torah out of our own free will. During times of war, Chazal say, and the Torah actually already alludes to it, we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The days of Purim, both days, were a time of menucha for Klal Yisrael. We had the opportunity to properly accept the Torah, and therefore the real time of celebration. The Gemara gives several reasons why we don't say Halav on Purim. One of the reasons is, Akati Abdi Achashverosh Anam, we're still servants of Achashverosh. As a matter of fact, someone told me, and I saw this myself in another shul, that now do they gragger, now do they make noise when Haman's name is mentioned. Some even make noise, Vaseres B'nei Haman. I saw that too. But a third minhag, which has no basis as far as I know in halacha, is in the last parak of the Megillah, when the Megillah describes Vayasa HaMelech HaShverosh Mas Al Ha'aretz. There was a tax. And that's when they gragger also, because who wants to pay taxes? As we know from the Boston Tea Party, L'Havdil Me'Avalfi Avdolos. Taxation without representation is tyranny. So that's not something that we are interested in. But there's no makar for that, as far as I know, halachically, to gragger with the Haman gragger during that point in time. But the Gemara says, Akadi Abdech Hashver Shanan, means the Geula was not yet complete. Whatever they accepted succeeded in nullifying the decree of Haman. But Chazal tell us, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that we're all familiar with. The Mishnah says that whoever is mekabel upon himself the oil of Torah, when a person accepts upon himself the oil of Torah, ma'avir mimenu ol malchus v'ol derech eretz, then the yoke of the government and the yoke of worldly responsibilities are taken away from him. So the people managed to correct their ways in Shushan, and they also corrected the eretz from the Cheda Ego. They learned that seichel should be above everything else. Emotion should not direct how I conduct my life, but my intellect, my seichel, should that be, which is the machria, which is my GPS and my ways, and I should not let my nefesh be destroyed by behala. I shouldn't panic. Never go into panic mode. Rachman litzlan. That one should not follow what appears before our eyes, but the way to deal with Haman and to deal with all the enemies of Klal Yisrael is to do tshuva and perform mitzvahs with a zeal, with a passion, to learn Torah, with hasmada, with great shkida, to reconnect with Hashem Yisbarach in the most profound of ways. That is the way to deal with Haman and his cohorts. That's far more effective than any other weapon. So if we do tshuva, undoubtedly, then we know from many, many statements in Chazal and from Pesukim in Chumash and in Tanakh that Ribbono Shel Olam once again will reconnect with us. And Baruch Hashem, the Jews of Shushan, that's what they did. They engaged in tshuva, they engaged in tefillah, and as a result, they were zoche to what we were zoche then, and halabai even today. La Yehudim Yisraelu v'simcha v'sasim v'ikar kein tiyalonu. Halabai, that should be our situation. V'yameinu anu, amen v'yamein.
Shkarech, thanks a lot, Shiva.
Shkarech, Shiva.
Thank you, Shiva.
Can I ask a question?